Okay. Shalom, Rabbi Yisai. Okay, we're still ending off Shah Avedas HaLikim. We've been ending it off for a while. Shah Avedas HaLikim, Perek Yud, page Reish Tzadi Tes in the Lev Toiv. We're still in the middle of discussing the application of our various conflicting midas, right? We discussed gaiva yesterday. We showed where the place for gaiva is. Where the place for gaiva is, as we discussed yesterday, yes, it has its place too. When I am around people who have a lower standard or a standard that opposes my standards of avodas Hashem, I don't act humbly toward them. I don't bow my head and apologize for being a frumi. On the contrary, I come across as a snob with a certain condescending attitude toward them. Now, like we discussed, this has to be applied delicately because in many cases, you want to be showing respect to the person, etc. But there are mainly two points that we should take away from this. When it comes to our standards of Yiddishkeit, that's not the place for humility. Never express a sense of inferiority, feeling like you have to apologize for being a frumi. On the contrary, you can do it gently and gracefully, but you can convey a certain sense of superiority if you can do it correctly and delicately. But again, this is mainly for the purpose of when it's an issue of attitudes being expressed, meaning there is an encounter of two different worldviews, two different attitudes. Don't allow your attitude to come across as the one with the bowed head. Don't allow your standard to come across that way. There should be a certain sense of, yes, I believe that my standard is the way to go, and I guess I can understand that you don't. Okay. Where do you apply anava? Anava, mekoy mashimush banava, where do you apply anava? Betkiyatech adam chasid v'nava v'irei elikim. When you meet a tzaddik, chacham v'teirasa, you meet a Talmud chacham, u'mis'asek b'avidasa, you meet a person who is deeply entrenched in avidas Hashem. So that's where you apply anava. On the contrary, that is where you act with deference. That's where you act with a bowed head, even with a certain trepidation. You want to show that if I know that somebody is in a higher place than me in Avodas Hashem, I want to show that I consider myself subservient to him. This is a place for anava. The idea being, in both cases, that you want the way you relate to reflect the true, accurate state of affairs. Another place for anava is Mishiyesh le'alayich tova v'chesed, v'atkayemes le'gam le'aleh. You should act humbly toward people who have done chesed for you. Act submissive toward them. It's a part of Akoras HaTov. And kol shekein mishegadlu va'atzmu tovos of migvul echaleihem. The Kavod Chavamis is, of course, pulling us back to his general theme, that the ultimate of this is the one who is drowning you in chesed, Hashem. And therefore, you want to be acting with extra humility toward him, with an extra sense of a bowed head towards him. And another aspect of anova is v'chein shetikchi hadin le'likim me'atzmei, to make an accounting of where you stand with Hashem. This is what we call cheshbon nefesh. Like the pasuk says, then their thick-skinned heart will be humbled, and then they will be forgiven. So yeah, you have to act humbly toward Hashem in these two senses. I'll just give two applications of this. I kind of sound not so relevant. But it is. Sometimes you'll hear people will question Hashem. Now, this is a delicate example. I want to express this correctly. But you know the famous question of Tzadik V'raloi, why would something bad happen to a good person? Why would something bad happen to a good person? When we see suffering around us, when we see good people suffering, when we see misfortune, it arouses the question of why would Hashem do that? Why would Hashem do that? Now here is a place for another. I'm not going to take the approach and say we should not question. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I mean, ultimately it's true. You have to ultimately acknowledge that you can never really know Hashem's ultimate cheshbon. But Hashem wants you to understand His way. If you question in a respectful kind of way, I'd like to understand this as best as I can, we wouldn't necessarily say that that's wrong. As long as, again, it's with the understanding that ultimately you won't really know Hashem's ways. But, and here's the important point that I want to make. Here's where another comes in. You want to ask why Hashem would do X, Y, Z, you have to ask the question right. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? I'll give an example of what I mean. People famously ask this about the Holocaust, right? How could Hashem let such a thing happen? Why would Hashem do such a thing? You have to be careful when you ask the question. You have to be careful when you ask the question not to overstep your boundaries and also not to relate to Hashem in a non-menschlich way. What do I mean by that? The Kalev Rebbe, when it was Nifter like a year or two ago, famous Rebbe without the beard because the Nazis had torn it out, legendary figure, very, very old when he was Nifter. I don't know if he was over 100. But whatever the case is, he went through the horrors of the Holocaust in the worst way possible. And afterwards, he was from those figures that immediately afterwards was starting to rebuild, right? The Kalevin Rebbe, the Kreuzenberger Rebbe, the Satner Rebbe, other very great figures who immediately in the DP camps got to work. So somebody asked him, how do you understand what happened? So the Kalev Rebbe said, this is so beautiful, because this is really the point. The Kalev Rebbe said, I don't understand what happened. But, he said, before the war, apparently he was affluent, he said, before the war, I grew up blessed with a lot of bounty, with a lot of luxury. He said, you know what? I couldn't understand that either. Why would Hashem do that? I don't understand why Hashem would do that, why He'd give me all those extras. I don't understand why Hashem would do this. I don't understand. What's the point here? The point here is that if you want to ask the question, you have to ask the question in a fair, menschlich way. Meaning, as long as a person is getting good, 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 it never crosses his mind to ask why. Why? Why not? I should get more. Right? Person suddenly chops, hey, there's Hashem in the picture when something, Khalila, goes in a different direction. 1 minute. You want to come and ask Hashem why? Start from the beginning. Right? Start from the beginning. Don't all of a sudden come and say, hey, Hashem, why'd you do this to me? Hashem says, 1 minute, did you notice the 15 other things that I did to you also? How come you didn't have any questions about that? You didn't even notice it. You didn't see me there. All of a sudden here, you're asking why? If you want to ask why, ask the question why in a complete way. Acknowledge. Hashem, you gave me this, you gave me this, you gave me this, you gave me this, and you also did this. I don't understand how it all adds up. That's called asking in a humble way. That's called asking in a humble way. It's also called asking in a decent way. That's a chiddush of the Chavis of Avos later. But Avigdor Melech also used to talk in these two tones. You have to be a mensch toward Hashem also. You have to. You can't be an ingrate. If a person just comes and says, has a whole life, a whole full life, he sees something or he experiences something, and all of a sudden now he has questions. Hashem says, "Well, what about everything else? You're not even mentioning that. That's not on the table." So this is where another comes in. Another comes in meaning, don't feel presumptuous coming and questioning Hashem if you're not humbled by everything that you got from Him. Besides that, that's an important application of another. When we sit down to wonder about Hashem's ways, we have to apply another there too. We have to feel burdened by all the overwhelming chesed that He's done for us, and if we want to ask the question in that perspective, it's already a kosher question. But it's coming from a very different place. It's coming from a very different place. It's coming from a place of, I see how much chesed Hashem does. I see who Hashem is. And now I don't understand how this fits in the picture. But it's already a whole different question. Okay. Now, another aspect is interesting. He says here, part of Anava is Cheshbon HaNefesh, making an accounting of where you stand with Hashem. Why is this Anava? This is also Anava, because it really comes down to the same point. When you're dealing with Hashem, have a correct picture. Have yourself in perspective when you're dealing with Hashem. If you feel Hamish with Hashem, it doesn't matter exactly what I'm doing and how I'm doing, whatever, you know. Me and Hashem are chummy. Or I don't really have much to do with him. You know, he's up there, I'm down here. But if a person is truly aware of the dynamic, if a person is truly aware of what it means that Hashem is busy with you all the time and what the dynamics of the relationship are, a person will constantly be concerned to be checking, so where do I stand? Where do I stand with Hashem? All right, he's busy showering me with all his good. He's so immense. It's a chiddush that he wants to relate to me, b'chlal. I better make sure that I'm in a good place with him. So that's why, yes, Cheshbon HaNefesh, the Chavis of Avos is inserting into the heading of Anava. Okay, we'll stop here.